Yasodhananda Braja Janaranjana. Yamunatira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girir Bardhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Mishabhavam Zavadadajakachaya Astatarasatrasisi Madhesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Vishnu Padam Zavadadajakachaya Stotarasatrasisi Mad Bhakti Siddhanta Zazidakur Prabhupada Ki Gora Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 16, Jaya and Vijaya cursed by the sages, text 19. Taranti hanyasa mrityum, nivritta yad anugrahat, yoginasa bhavan kim swid, anugrihyeta yat parai, taranti hanyasa mrityum, nivritta yad anugrahat, yogina sabhavan kim swid, anugrihyeta yat parai, taranti hanjasa mrityum, nivritta yad anugrahat, yogina sabhavan kim swid, anugrihyeta yat parai, Vaishnavis. Taranti, crossover. He, because, anjasa, easily, mrityum, birth and death, nivritta, ceasing all material desires, yat, your, anugrahat, by mercy, yogina, transcendentalist, sa, the Supreme Lord, bhavan, you, kim swit, never possible, anugriheta, may be favored, yat, which, parai, by others. Translation, these are the four Kumaras speaking. Mystics and transcendentalists, by the mercy of the Lord, cross beyond nescience by ceasing all material desires. It is not possible, therefore, that the Supreme Lord can be favored by others. Purport. Unless one is favored by the Supreme Lord, one cannot cross over the ocean of the nescience of repeated birth and death. Here it is stated that yogis or mystics cross beyond nescience by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many kinds of mystics, such as the Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi, Dhyana Yogi, and Bhakti Yogi. The Karmis particularly search after the favor of the demigods. The Jnanis want to become one with the Supreme Absolute Truth, and the yogis are satisfied simply by partial vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, and ultimately by oneness with Him. But the bhaktas, the devotees, want to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally and serve Him. It has already been admitted that the Lord is eternal. And those who want the favor of the Supreme Lord perpetually are also eternal. Therefore, yogi here means devotees. By the mercy of the Lord, devotees can easily pass beyond the nescience of birth and death and attain the eternal abode of the Lord. The Lord is therefore not in need of another's favor because no one is equal or greater than Him. Actually, everyone needs the favor of the Lord for successful understanding of His human mission. Translation again. Mystics and transcendentalists, by the mercy of the Lord, cross beyond nescience by ceasing all material desires. It is not possible, therefore, that the Supreme Lord can be favored by others. Om agena chimadandasya agena anjana shalakaya chakshru nmilitang yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The four Kumaras are responding to Lord Narayan's statements that all my good qualities that I have are because of the brahmanas giving me favor. And Lord Narayan actually says that Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, remember, she's there with Lord Narayan at the gateway to Vaikuntha. He says that Lakshmi Devi only agrees to stay with him because of the mercy coming from the brahmanas. This is quite an astonishing statement. And this is what the four Kumaras are trying to process. Like, wait a minute. Lakshmi Devi is always vying for a spot at your lotus feet, just like the tulsi leaves with bumblebees. They're always at the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Similarly, Lakshmi Devi always wants to be there. And now we're hearing that Lord Narayan relies on the favor and mercy of the brahmanas? Kim Swid. How can that be true? Impossible. We spoke the other day about how the four Kumaras are a little bewildered. Who's wrong here? Maybe we were wrong to curse these two gatekeepers. Maybe they were wrong. Maybe the curse should be nullified. Maybe we're all wrong. And here we have Lord Narayan taking the blame on himself, saying, they're my servitors. I guess the master gets blamed when the servitors do something wrong. And if the brahmanas feel in any way I've offended them, I would cut off one of my limbs. Whatever has caused the offense, I'll cut it off. So the four Kumaras are, they don't know how to take this. Now, the response of the four Kumaras is maybe a little difficult to understand, because this chapter tells us that their consciousness was tinged by passion, and therefore they couldn't clearly understand the words of the Supreme Personality Godhead, and that's why they're asking for clarification. Who's right and who's wrong in this very complex lila? We're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for distilling all the various angles and keeping us focused on what is the main point. The main point is to go back to Godhead. So he's pointing that out in the purport to this verse. The verse tells us that real mystics and transcendentalists, they cross over nescience by ceasing all material desires. So we're getting our career goal here. People like to be career focused. But if you forget what is your ultimate aim in life, your life is useless. This is Prahlad Maharaj's verdict. Nate vidu swartha gatimi Vishnu. They don't know what is the ultimate goal. To connect with Vishnu. Dharashaya ye artamanina. They have hope in the external. That I'll be fulfilled, I'll be happy by external activities. Anda yatandar upaniyamana. With this mentality, human society glides towards hellish destinations. You can just visualize that gliding. If you're in a glider, if you're gliding along on skates or surfboard or whatever, it seems so exhilarating. But you have to consider, what is your destination? Where does the ride end? You can just see yourself jumping off the top of a 100-story building. And as you go past floor 99, floor 97, oh, so far so good. But what are you going to end up as? And this is what our so-called human civilization today refuses to consider. Bhagavatam is very goal-orientated. What's the goal you're trying to achieve? So this verse spoken by the four Kumaras is telling us mystics and transcendentalists want to cross over nescience. And the essence of nescience is material desires which bring about repeated birth and death. This is a career goal, ladies and gentlemen. This is a profession. Sometimes people will say, why don't you get a real job? Well, here you have the real job. How to cross over the ocean of repeated birth and death. So the four Kumaras are pointing out that how can the Lord rely on favors from others when everyone, whatever type of yogi, mystic you are, you rely on His favor to cross the ocean of nescience. So we hear about the Karma Yogis, the Jnana Yogis, the Dhyana Yogis, and the Bhakti Yogis. They all have a name. The Karma Yogis want to please the demigods. And they're in that kind of way, they're mystics. They know that material enjoyment now and in the future depends on the favor of the devatas. By doing good karma and upasana, worship of the devatas, we'll get so many material benefits. So this is a kind of mysticism. And then there are the Jnana Yogis who decide, rightfully so, that there's an all-pervading spiritual energy. And if we can just merge with that, we'll be liberated. So yes, they're classified as mystic yogis. And then the Dhyana Yogis, the super soul meditators, who, yes, want to develop mystic powers and become popular. Because if you've got mystic abilities, the masses will flock towards you. So the Jnana Yogis, besides wanting to develop mystic powers for the sake of increased gratification and for the sake of popularity, they get in touch to some degree. They can get in touch to some degree with the super soul in the heart. But then they make a huge mistake. That super soul in the heart is me. And finally, the bhakti yogis. They understand bhakjamam abhijanati. Only by devotional service can Krishna be understood. Only by Krishna's mercy can we be reinstated in our position as in a loving relationship with Krishna. And then, of course, as Narottam Das Thakur, the great Vaishnavacharya, says, Chodiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payecha Keva. Who do you know who ever got out of the material world successfully and permanently without getting the favor of a Vaishnava? So the four Kumaras are pointing out that, Kim Swit, it's never possible that you, Lord, are reliant on the favors of others. You've said this just to instruct us in the importance of the brahmanas so that others will follow your example. This brings up to us how important gratitude is in bhakti. At every step of our spiritual life, there's always someone who's inspired us, helped us, directed us to varying degrees. So sometimes devotees think, well, you haven't been the biggest inspirer of my life, so therefore you get nothing from me. A Vaishnava notes every instance where he or she should be grateful and happily expresses gratitude. And that expression of gratitude allows Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission to expand, because the person you express gratitude to will naturally humbly think, well, I'm just an insignificant something, but if in some way I inspired you or helped you, I'm happy about that. Your gratitude expressed toward that person then empowers that person to be even more helpful to others. And what happens, although it's silent, there's the converse. I gave my whole life to helping devotees. I did this, I did that, and now they don't even acknowledge me. So it's human psychology to think that, well, I'm not doing outreach anymore. I'm not helping anyone anymore. They don't appreciate me. It's a thankless task, and I'm tired of thankless tasks. I'll just move to Alachua. Forget all this. So this is what happens when there is gratitude and when there's no gratitude. Just simple expressions of gratitude. I remember when I first went to the Brooklyn Temple, my very first visit. I was nervous like anything. I was living in Manhattan. The temple was in Brooklyn. At that time, Manhattanites never go to Brooklyn. So, as you may know, I had donated a huge amount of money without ever visiting the temple. Persuaded by the Sankirtan devotees, I had parted with all my massive savings, which were quite a lot for a 21-year-old. So, they told me, you've given so much money, you might as well come to the temple and see where your money's going to. I said, that sounds right, yeah. Let me see where my money's going to. So I was so nervous taking the subway to Brooklyn. From a couple of blocks away, as I got out of the subway station, from a couple of blocks away, I could smell the incense. And I would hear this sound. I said, what kind of planet am I going to? So then I arrived at the building. I walked up the steps and opened the door. And there was a greeter assigned at the door. Someone who had the service of being the official greeter of whoever walked into the door. And as soon as I opened the door, there he was. Welcome, brother. You've come to the right place. Come on in. Take off your shoes. Go on in the temple room. Move your feet around to the music. I said, wow. So that devotee's name, Chandrasekhar Prabhu, whenever I see him, I haven't seen him for years now, I always remind him of that. Of course, probably there's so many I'm forgetting, but my point is we should make an effort. Anyone who's done something favorable for us, never let them forget it. I remember such and such a situation. You told me this, you told me that. Here's a good New Dwarka one. When I started initiating disciples, Swavas Prabhu very mercifully came up to me with a serious look on his face. Okay, Maharaj, just hold it right there. keep your false ego in check right there. I always remember that. That's mercy. So, there must be countless persons in your life who've done something for you. whenever I see Balai Mataji, I'm grateful because I remember how she sacrificed so much for working on Prabhupada's books. So the more you express those kind of due gratitudes, the more you make spiritual advancement and you inspire the other person. Because even though the other person who's receiving the gratitude is not thinking, oh, I'm so great, I'm glad you finally recognized it. You know, the other person's thinking, oh, well, I'm just trying to do a little service. But what you don't see in that other person who receives the gratitude is that that person will go on helping others, taking that extra step to help others. So if we don't do that, then you actually restrict the expansion of Lord Chaitanya's movement, because someone will unconsciously, they don't mean to, but a person will think, well, no one notices how I've killed myself trying to help someone. How I tried to give this Vaishnava, Vaishnavi good advice. They didn't even notice. Okay, I'll just be detached and just stay in my own world and chant Hare Krishna, that's it. So the four Kumaras are pointing out to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're not reliant on the favors of others. But the four Kumaras are expressing their gratitude. You are what you are. The goddess of fortune always wants to be with you. Because you favor the brahmanas, although you don't need their favor, because you favor the brahmanas, human society can actually function properly. So this question of, does the Supreme Personality of Godhead thrive on favor or not, is what takes up the first chapter of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. What's happened in the preceding canto is that it seems that the Supreme Lord has sided with Indra and finished off Indra's enemies. And so Maharaj Pritchett opens up the seventh canto by asking, Sama Priya Sirhit Brahman, Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam. Shukadeva Goswami, let me ask you. We know the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sama, equal to everyone. Priya, everyone's dear to him. Sirhit, he's the friend of everyone. Oh, Brahmana, Shukadeva, we know this is so for all living entities. This is the way the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, Swayam Bhagavan. But it could seem that he shows favor to the devatas and he treats the demons as enemies. What's going on here? It seems that way. And so he presents this situation to Shukadeva Goswami for clarification. Pritchett Maharaj knows the answer, but he's concerned with the wider world. This is Pritchett Maharaj's Sankirtan. He's asking questions that will benefit the whole world. So he's saying to Shukadeva Goswami, this is the doubt that I have, whether the Supreme Lord is partial or impartial. Can you please clear this up? Because if someone is affectionate to everyone, why would he kill the demons? If someone's the friend of everyone, why would he act unfriendly toward the demons? And at the same time, show favor to the demigods and be more friendly with them. Can you please clarify, Shukadeva, what's really going on here? And what was Shukadeva Goswami's answer? Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja Haresh Charitam Adbhutam. You have asked an excellent question. Sadhu, sadhu. And by your asking this question, you're allowing me to expand upon the inconceivable, unlimited glories of Lord Hari. So Shukadeva Goswami explains that this whole issue of whether the Lord is partial or impartial depends on your perception. Because with material vision, you will see partiality and unfairness. But that's all in the lens you're looking through. And the lens that you're looking through is influenced by Trigunamayi, by the three modes of material nature. So there's nothing partial or impartial about the Supreme Lord. Why? Because he has no material body. So this is a very striking point for us to remember. Partiality, favor, disfavor, those are all manifestations of a material body. But the Supreme Lord has no material body. And when he comes to the material world, he has no touch. No touch of the material energy is upon him. So where does all this perception about partiality and impartiality in reference to the Supreme Lord, where does this come from? Shukadeva Goswami hits the nail on the head for us. This vision comes from Maya. If you actually understand what is Krishna, you will understand there's no partiality or impartiality, even when he kills the demons. And this is what really can puzzle us. Just like this whole affair with Jai and Vijay can puzzle us. We can get into so many details and intricacies given by the acharyas. But we're grateful to Prabhupada for keeping us on track and allowing us to focus. So the so-called partiality of the Supreme Lord is actually his giving favor to everyone, whether demigod or demon. Because however you come in contact with the Supreme Lord, you only come out better. So by the Lord's killing the demons, he does them a favor by stopping their inimical activities. And also, if they're killed personally by the Lord, they get liberation. So any way you come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this way or that way, you only come out better. That's the bottom line for Shukadeva Goswami's case that he's presenting. The Lord seems to kill, but that's actually his favor. He seems to have friends, but that's also open to everyone. Samaham sabhabhuteshu. Everyone can be my friend. Tesham satayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Everyone has a chance to render constant devotional service, and I'll talk to them if they render the service with priti, with love. So everyone's got that opportunity. Just like when the sun is shining. Everyone can be in the sunshine, but some choose to cover up completely, put sunglasses on for health reasons or whatever. But the sun is shining for everyone. So can you say the sun is impartial or partial? No, the sun just shines. Similarly, Krishna does his thing, so to speak. How you perceive it, that is your problem. So this is what Shukadeva explains to relieve Prichit Maharaj's doubt. So in this, he explains another point. When you see fairness and unfairness, partiality or impartiality in the Supreme Lord, you are suffering from a disease known as aropita. You're imposing material concepts upon the Supreme Lord. And these material concepts you're imposing are products of the three modes of material nature. But the Supreme Lord is never influenced by the modes of material nature. He has no material body. So therefore, by the time you finish reading Shukadeva Goswami's explaining of this issue, you take your concepts that the Lord is partial and you toss them out. In any situation, how Krishna deals is all good. Just like in the case of Jai and Vijay. Actually, they volunteered to go to the material world. And their motivation was based on praying. We can't tolerate that the Lord is not getting maximum pleasure. They're seeing in that way. The Lord always has maximum unlimited pleasure. But as devotees, as Vaikunthites, they're seeing he needs to fight. But who can fight with him in Vaikuntha? There are no battles in Vaikuntha. We want to add to the pleasure of the Lord by volunteering to go to the material world and be his opponents so he can demonstrate vira rasa, the secondary rasa of chivalry. We'll volunteer for that out of love. Still, it's quite a extraordinary situation, as you'll hear in the coming verses, where when they're told to go to the material world, they're weeping and wailing. Still, it's their choice. They volunteered for it. Now you want to get technical, and you may lose the whole train of the Bhagavatam's presentation. As I said, we're grateful to Prabhupada for keeping us on track. But the details to this whole incident are unlimited. So you can really trip out on details. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Jai and Vijay had expansions that went to the material world, but the Sarup stayed in Vaikuntha. You can go on and on like all this. But we should try to understand what is Srila Prabhupada telling us in these verses and purports. And that's the main point. The endless details. And as I said, to this Leela, there are countless fine prints, small prints, on and on and on it goes. We're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the focus is always there for us to complete our mission in this human form of life. Another detail for the older devotees here. This is explained by Rupa Goswami. It's summarized in Nectar of Devotion, and you'll see it in more detail in the coming BBT version of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That'll be 5 volumes of 800 pages each. So it's explained that the 4 Kumaras, when they... First of all, Prabhupada tells us in this chapter that the 4 Kumaras were actually never inside Vaikuntha. They were checked at the gate. So someone could wonder, well, how did they make it into Vaikuntha and then go back? They actually never entered in fully. They were held at the gate. So they saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lakshmi Devi, their bhava, preliminary stage of love of God, their bhava should have been dasya prem. But because they actually had offended Jai and Vijay, they only got shantaras. Okay. How is that so? Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that by a severe offense to a devotee or the Supreme Lord, even if you have bhava, it can be destroyed. By a medium intensity offense to a devotee, your bhava can change to bhava-bhas, a shadow of bhava. And by a slight offense, remember we pointed out in the purport the other day how Prabhupada says that even in Vaikuntha you can make an offense, but you're usually protected by the Supreme Lord from the reactions to that offense. So Rupa Goswami explains that by a slight offense to a devotee, your rasa is downgraded, just like the 4 Kumaras. Their bhava should have been dasya, but because they did make a bit of an offense to the Jai and Vijay, you'll hear in the coming verses that the 4 Kumaras admit, Jai and Vijay are faultless, but we cursed them. And then the Supreme Lord intervenes and says, actually, this is all my doing. You're coming to the gates of Vaikuntha, being checked. You're being checked by Jai and Vijay. You're cursing them. It's all my arrangement. So we're talking about the result of a slight offense to a devotee. If you're on the platform of bhava, your bhava is downgraded. It's still preserved, but if it's Madhurya, it'll be downgraded to Vatsalya. If it's Vatsalya, it'll be downgraded to Sakya, and so on and so forth. So that's what happened to 4 Kumaras. They got a slight diminishment. This is how complicated the affairs of the material and spiritual world are when they intersect. But we should always keep in mind, what is our mission? Our mission is not to become absorbed in details, but to get out of the material world by pleasing Krishna's devotee. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, you don't know anyone who ever got out of the material world permanently who hasn't pleased a Vaishnava. And so the Supreme Lord is expressing his gratitude towards the Vaishnava Brahmanas. Prabhupada makes it clear, he's not expressing gratitude to caste Brahmanas, Brahmanas by birth. No, he's expressing gratitude to real Brahmanas, and he's saying, I'm so dependent on them for their mercy. And that's all done to instruct us. All right, any questions? Nakatma Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. It's a wonderful, wonderful class. I have a question about your last comment about how Rupa Goswami explains the experience that's there in devotional life, how, and you use the example of the Kumaras and how they were corrected or encouraged by the Lord that, no, this was my arrangement. So, in the course of devotional service, as we go along, if one were to commit an offense to another Vaishnava, can we understand that and becomes downgraded, as you pointed out, in your devotion? Can we take that as the Lord's instruction also?
Yes, by offending Vaishnavas, your bhakti lata, your creeper of bhakti, becomes diminished. But what Rupa Goswami, and it's summarized by Prabhupada very briefly in Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion is a summary study. What Rupa Goswami says in detail about the same point is, it's not that your bhakti is destroyed by a great offense, your bhava is destroyed. Because otherwise, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Svalpam apyasya dharmasya triyate mahatobhaya. On this path, your bhakti endeavor results are never lost. But this is about bhava. So Rupa Goswami is saying, your bhava will be destroyed by a great offense to a devotee or the Supreme Lord. That means you have to first attain the bhava platform, and then it gets wiped out. But it doesn't mean that's the end of your bhakti.
So should I think that, well, this was Krishna's arrangement?
Will you accept the reaction as Krishna's arrangement? No. We accept the good things that come to us as Krishna's arrangement, but the so-called bad things, why is this happening to me? That's another instruction given in this chapter. That Jai and Vijay, they didn't protest the curse. And so the purports explain that Jai and Vijay had radiant lotus-like faces, even though they were being chastised practically unjustly. But still the comment is that this is how to deal with a brahmana, even when a brahmana expresses unjustified rage to you. Mm-hmm. You still, with a expansive, shining lotus face, take it all in. Yes, yes, all right, all right, all right. High standard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything else? Sravas Prabhu.
Is there actually an offense that Krishna won't forgive?
He says that to Durvasa Muni. He says, remember Durvasa Muni?
Yeah.
Can you get me out of this jam? I got the chakra on my back scorching me. And the Supreme Lord told him, sorry, I can't enter into this situation. You have to get forgiveness from the one you offended.
So it says that one of the offenses is if you see a Vaishnava, you don't offer respect, that's an offense. So it seems like, you know, every time we see someone, we have to hit the ground.
Well, at least in your mind, you can offer respect.
Yeah. Good.
Vrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class, as usual. You mentioned about downgrading the rasa. So is there upgrading rasa? The reason I ask is because I always had the impression from other things I'd heard Prabhupada say that your rasa is your rasa. You know, and
generally, he said. He explained that right here in Los Angeles in 1976, upstairs in his room. Mm-hmm. Devotees asked him, can your rasa change? And he said, generally, not, but it's possible. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and we're working hard trying to get that produced for the BBT. It's a major endeavor. It's huge work. It's explained that by associating with a devotee who's advanced, you can get bhava. You can get bhava from Krishna's mercy. You can get it from a devotee. You can get it from sadhana. So yes, association is so important. By wrongful behavior with a devotee, you can be diminished. If you're on the platform of bhava, a slight mistake in dealing with devotees can do what happened to the four Kumaras. They should have had the entity of dasya. They had bhava, but it was downgraded to shanta, neutrality. Naikatma Prabhu, again, we're being blessed by a second question from Naikatma Prabhu in one day.
I'm only inspired by your speaking. You just mentioned that in response to Suvas Prabhu that the example of Durvas, were you intimating that the chakra went rogue and it's doing its own thing and that the Lord cannot stop it?
He won't stop it because the situation involves an offense, a major offense to a devotee. Look what Durvasa did. He tried to kill Ambarish Maharaj. So he said, I won't get into this. I won't stop it. There's nothing that the Supreme Lord can't do, but he says, I don't interfere. You have to go to Ambarish and ask for forgiveness. And you know what happened when he finally went to Ambarish? Ambarish was thinking, I've offended you. Ambarish hadn't eaten for a whole year, just waiting for Devasa Muni to return so he could ask for forgiveness. These are Vaishnava dealings far beyond us. Therefore, I say at least we can express gratitude to the Prabhus, to the Matajis. At least we can express gratitude. We may not be able to have a radiant, lotus-like, shining face when a Brahmana unjustifiably chastises us. We may not be able to do that, but at least we can express gratitude. Just for things like, you have a morning program to attend, Mangal Arati, and the whole morning program. Express gratitude for that. But if you just take it for granted, you become a bit dull. Oh, the temple's always here, the deities are always there, Mangal Arati is always going on. After Mangal Arati, Suvas Prabhu will read something from Bhagavatam. As we're going on like that for years, what else? What's the big deal? It is a big deal. All right. Thank you very much. Oh. Okay. One more.
It's back and forth. It's a tag team thing.
Okay.
I would like to ask for forgiveness for my offense to you. Many years ago, whatever I said to you, please forgive me.
Everything you say, I take upon my head. I remember I mentioned it to, years ago, I mentioned it to Bhajan Narayan Raj. He said, I know what Subhas Prabhu is referring to. So I thank you with gratitude. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada.